just in a form.
Hired industry. Okay, the Economic Development Budget Division for Wednesday, March 26th will come to order. I apologize to everybody for the late starting time. Because of the way that the Finance Committee setup is, it moves bills around. The fact of the matter is that all these bills that we have on the agenda today, we don't need to hear them today in front of this committee, and if we do need to move them to the floor singularly, we can do so either out of this division or through the Finance Division itself, because the bills are all in the Finance Division under Senator Cohen's control. And so I've talked to all the members, and we have a consensus that what we would like to do is to then roll out the omnibus bill, which is Article 15. I think you all have it. Did we put it out on the table out there for people to look at?
We're about to.
Everything that is in this article, I think this is accurate, and if my staff can correct me if I'm wrong, everything that is in this article has either been heard in this committee or in some other committee, and so we've incorporated into this as per the directions of the finance chair. And in addition, what we've done is we've come up with a budget recommendation so that we can do our part to solve the budget deficit that the state is experiencing. I think maybe the best way to proceed, if you want me to, is to have maybe Mr. Jensen go through the article quickly to give everybody a brief idea of what's in it. I know there's a couple of amendments that we need to add on because we have forgotten them to put them in here, but I'll let Mr. Jensen get started if that's acceptable.
Well, Mr. Chair, I would just ask that maybe when we got to the, because we're not hearing my bill in full today, if maybe I've got a couple witnesses, that maybe they could just come to the table and quickly say a few words on that portion.
Why don't we have them do that right now?
Right now? Okay. That'd be great. Thank you.
I don't know if you
take
even,
a few minutes.
I don't even know if you need to go to the table. If you want. Go ahead. Give us a quick.
Okay. There's just the three portions, and I think they're all included in this bill. We're including veterans in the Dislocated Workers Fund. We're doing a revolving loan fund for businesses that have been hurt with a key employee or the owner of the business has been deployed, and of course the funding there is probably the issue. And then the third part is just that we create a fund within the UI that helps companies that when they have someone deployed, they replace them for that year and a half, and then when those people come back, of course, they when the deployed person comes back, then they have someone that goes on unemployment, and this fund would just help within UI to help offset that. So we're just trying to do a few things, and I would point out the Wall Street Journal today had a report from the U.S. From the federal government that says that young veterans earn less and have a harder time finding work than do civilians in the same age group. It's up from 10% in 2000 to 23% in 2005. So this is definitely an issue that the men and women are dealing with coming home.
Okay. Okay. Who do we have here? Who wants to go first?
Colonel Almas.
Colonel, welcome to the committee.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Colonel Eric Allness, Department of Military Affairs. As talked about in other committees, is that when we look at the military reservists and when they deploy, we really have to look at three people. We have to look at the reservist itself, and the legislature has been very good, federal and state legislatures, in making sure we provide protections for them. The other two legs, which we don't look at as quickly, and we're really leading the way in Minnesota, is looking at the families, and then this one here, looking at the employers. And what this bill does in its original form is it provides the capability to help sustain those businesses, especially small businesses that are owned by that reservist or that reservist is a key member. So we thank the legislature for looking at indeed bringing this forward to help make sure we address the needs of the service members and the employers who employ them.
Mr. Chair, Colonel, could you just give us a quick rundown on the numbers of how many have just come home, how many are going to be soon deployed, how many are over there or are deployed?
Colonel?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator, yes, at any given time, we have at least 1,000 deployed. At this particular time, we have 1,300 service members deployed from the Army and Air National Guard. Last fall, we had the 2,600 service members from the 1st Brigade Combat Team come back. And then you just heard maybe earlier in the week that another 800 from the 34th Combat Aviation Brigade will be going out the door over to Iraq. And that's not the end. Regardless of what happens in the political election in the coming year, there is the need, and service members from the Guard and Reserve in Minnesota are going to be deployed in the prolonged future.
Thank you, Colonel. Mr. Schaefer?
Mr. Chairman, members, my name is Charles Schaefer from the Department of Employment and Economic Development. And I want to echo what Colonel Allness has just said about the value of this as an economic development tool in ensuring the success and growth of small businesses that are owned and operated by military reservists or in which the military reservist is a key employee. This program would be a revolving loan program that is specifically designed to be a remediation program for problems that those businesses have sustained as a result of the reservist deployment. We believe that while there is no absolute number that we can identify as to how many reservists that would be, we are saying that with $1 million of initial funding, we would be able to serve a maximum of 50 reservists with a maximum of $20,000 in loans. That's not to say that all loans would be $20,000, but the intent here is to remedy what we call in the bill substantial economic injury. Businesses that are not able to meet their current obligations as a result of the reservist deployment. And so that's going to be an amount that's certainly probably not less than $10,000 apiece.
Okay. Mr. Nelson, did you want to say anything, or are you okay? Okay. Any further comments or any questions of these gentlemen? Okay. Senator Koch, thank you. If in the event we need to move this out on its own, we can do this next week if we need to. Otherwise, we're trying to fund some programs that haven't been funded in the past, or in this case, this new one. And, we couldn't find $1 million to fit in this budget. We were able to find $250,000, and I believe you'll find it on the second page of line 225 of the second page. And in the article that we're rolling out right now, do we have the? We inadvertently left one thing out that we wanted to put in. This was heard in Senator Metzen's committee, and it's on nanotechnology. It was Senator Rosen's bill. We were getting some pretty interesting emails from people telling us how this is developing all across the country, and that Ohio is all over this thing, and that if we don't at least step up and try and make some steps toward getting this done, that we could be losing some pretty good economic development opportunities. And so, without objection, Senator Metzen, maybe know more about it than I do.
Well, all I know is that it's, I think Iowa's got a few million dollars into this, and it's working very well. And this is a small amount, but at least it's a placeholder. Maybe we get it started anyway. So,
okay. So, Senator Metz, do you want to move the?
I'll so move. Yeah.
The DJ0002 amendment included in the omnibus bill. Any questions or objections? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion adopted. Now, I think, Mr. Jensen, would you like to go through the article? I think we can go through it quickly, and then if there's questions, we can discuss them, and we'll go from there.
Mr. Chairman, members, if you're looking on page one of the proposed bill, the Department of Commerce on line 27, we're transferring $2 million to the general fund from the insurance fraud prevention. Line 32 to 35 is a transfer of $25 million. This transfer from the assigned risk plan would take place anyway once it reached $50 million, but we're just kind of speeding up the process because of the need for additional funds. Page 2, line 2.1 is also a governor's recommendation to transfer $20,500,000 to the general fund, and that's removing the cap on the mutual fund securities. Lines 15 is a new appropriation for the LifeTrack resources for a pilot project in Rochester, focusing on immigrant and refugee skills, job skills, and work English. Senator Tomasoni mentioned the amount on line 25, and on line 32 is a grant to the hired organization for industry training. This amount would be added to their base. Page 3 under cancellations. On line 11 is the foreign trade zone. The money is not going to be used for canceling $608,000. 13 through 17 is the meth lab. The money has not been loaned out, so we're bringing that money back. Line 18 is $500,000 from the Job Skills Partnership account. Those three were also governor's recs at slightly different numbers. And on line 20 through 23, or 22, is the cancellation of the appropriation for the Minnesota Investment Fund of $5 million, $3 million of which was for the construction of the West Publishing Company, which has not gone forward. And line 24 to 27 is also a governor's rec to transfer half of the unencumbered balance in the Workforce Development Fund to the General Fund. And on line 29 is transferring back to the General Fund from the Minnesota Investment Revolving Loan Account the money that would be carried forward from 07 to 08. And on page 3, line 33, explore Minnesota tourism. There's two parts to that online. Page 4, line 1, is a transfer within the department, $500,000 for a movie that's going to be made perhaps in 08 or 09. It goes to the Minnesota Film and TV Board. Line 13, there's $2 million of new money to the Film and TV Board. This goes into their job production program. Line 21 is a historical society. There's $500,000 for the Minnesota Siskiyou Centennial Commission. Mr. Chairman, on page 5 is the Combative Sports Commission. This is renaming the Boxing Commission, and we're giving that commission $80,000 in 09. They do not have any general fund appropriation in 09. So this would be the appropriation in 09. This is added to their base. Mr. Chairman, on page 5, line 5, section 8 is the language that repeals the cap on the mutual fund securities amount. That goes over to page 6, lines 6 through 10. This was also a governor's recommendation. Lines page 6 through 7 is the puts the on. Excuse me, on page 7, line 2, the Combative Sports Commission is in the unclassified civil service. Mr. Chairman, on page 7, line 19, starts the bill that was heard in the division dealing with the Boxing Commission and the Combative Sports name change. Again, that continues all the way through page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11, 12, 13, 14. On page 15, there's a fee schedule. Lines 15 through 24, there's reductions there, and that's reductions for the professionals involved in a sport. And with these reductions, there would be a $6,000 reduction to the special revenue fund. And on lines 29 through 34 and on page 16 down to line 15, those are new fees, and that raises just $4,000 to the special revenue fund. Again, that's not in the general fund numbers. Page 16 and 17 are the rest of the boxing combative sports provisions. Mr. Chairman, on the next page one, which is the economic development provisions that go along with the spending starting in Article 15.
Well, do you want? Does anybody want to go through the policy stuff? We can quickly go through these provisions if you want to, so you can see what's in here. Otherwise, we can. Like I said, I think everything is in here that has some kind of a. I think everything in here has some kind of fiscal implication. We have, for example, the Senator Scheid bill that's in here that has the technical corrections to the plumbing board bill that we passed last year, as well as a fee, and that we're talking about for the manufactured homes, I think it was, and that's a real lot of this language in here. How far does that go?
That is
to 72, about page 72.
So that's sections 24 to 78. All right.
There is. There's the three bills that I have on the calendar. We already talked about the Boxing Commission. The Minnesota Technology is in here, and the Unemployment and Benefits Extension is in here. Senator Koch's bill is in here. And
we just have people talk for or against the Red Lake Senator's
the Senator Scoy's bill.
Oh, yeah, just say, yeah, that'd be all right.
There's some corrections to some of the Minnesota Steel language, just to make sure that those work. There's some stuff from the housing that they wanted as far as the debt ceiling was concerned. And
Senator Moss, Neighborhood Land Trust Working Group.
Senator, go ahead.
Also, Mr. Chair and members, Senate File 2609, Senator Saltzman, the Job Skills Partnership Program. And at Section 97, Senator Moss Bill, Senate File 2643, the Neighborhood Land Trust Working Group.
There's some hardship payments. Well, that was all in the economic development bill. So, the unemployment benefits extension bill.
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
The MTI bill was actually removed from the omnibus.
Oh, it is? Okay. All right.
Yes.
Okay, so we can move that. If people want to stick around tonight, we can either move that out here tonight, or we can do that in finance and Senator Cohen's bill. So MTI is not in this? Okay.
No, it is not.
All right. So that was a policy provision that for some reason is in this committee. I'm not sure what happened here, but at any rate, we can move it out of the finance committee next week, I'm assuming. Right. And is there anything else that we missed?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, did you mention Senator Higgins 3073, the mortgage foreclosure assistance?
I don't think I did, no.
That is also included in this bill.
Okay. But, And did we tell them everything that's in here?
I believe that is everything that's in here. There's also a summary that was included with the packet.
With the packet, okay. And I have this.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Cohen?
Can I ask a couple of questions about this one? First of all, where's the mortgage foreclosure provision? Did I miss that?
That is. That is section 84.
Page 71.
And, Mr. Chairman, what? Is the connection to this committee or the finance bill the issuance of the bonds? Is that? No. I'm trying to pick up the language.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Jensen.
The Housing Finance Agency, of course, is in our budget area. And if there's expenses with this, we're going to take some of the money from a current appropriation to use for this purpose. That's why it's related to this bill.
Then, Mr. Chairman, let me ask. Sorry, I'm not sure which. I just read it. The land trust. Whatever.
Mr. Chair, that's on page 91.
Okay. First of all, what is the connection with the finance bill of this? And second, has this issue been to the Rules Committee yet? Because this bill is not going to go to the Rules Committee.
I'm sorry.
This has the appointment of legislators to this working group. And under the new rule of the Rules Committee, not one I came up with, all legislative commissions, I believe, all commissions involving the appointment of legislators has to go to the Rules Committee.
We don't want that to happen, do we?
I can't speak for yourself. My bill is not going to go to the Rules Committee.
Whose bill is this?
This is, Mr. Chair, this is Senator DeMoss's bill.
Senator Cohen, this is another bill that we have this in Finance Committee. Is that where this is?
Mr. Chair, I believe we did hear it in this committee. Senator Dibble, did you present on this bill?
Yes.
Do you recall? Okay.
No, I think we laid it on the. I don't remember.
Thank you.
I do not remember.
Well, Senator Dibble, do you mind if we, since this?
Oh. I'm reminded. I believe it was referred to Senator Rest's committee.
It was referred to Senator Rest's committee. So is it still there?
Well, Mr. Chairman, not if it didn't leave this committee, it wasn't referred to Senator Rest's committee. Do we pass it out of the committee? And
No. That's right. It was referred up to Finance with the goal of getting it to. Senator Rest's committee.
So, Ms. Orr, did Senator Rest did not hear this? She's shaking her head no, just for the record. We don't want this to go to rules.
Mr. Chairman, we don't have to make the change tonight. I can talk to you about this tomorrow when these recommendations get to the full Finance Committee. I guess from our conversation earlier today, I'm not going to make any motions tonight. But I might want to revisit a couple of these issues with you tomorrow before we have the bill in the full Finance Committee.
Okay. Mr. Jensen.
Mr. Chairman, I'm looking at the log of all the bills that were heard. This was March 10th, and the action taken was to, sent to Finance. So we did move it out.
Okay. Senator Dibble?
Are we still on the land trust group?
Yes.
Yeah. Why don't we just take it out? I just spoke with MHFA and the advocates, and they think they can figure something else out.
Okay. All right. Then Senator Dibble moves to delete Section 97. Is that all we need to do? Just Section 97?
Yes. Mr. Chair, this just Section 97 is the bill, the MAW bill.
Okay. All right. On that motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion adopted. Thank you, Senator Dibble.
Mr. Chairman, I still want to talk to you tomorrow.
Okay.
That line of communication.
Senator Parasol.
Mr. Chairman, is this the time when I should probably
no.
offer?
Well, I don't know. Maybe if we want to. But first, I think I'd rather do... I think I'd rather do the IRRRB one.
All right. I'll wait for your signal, Mr. Chairman.
Can we hand out the CD-001 And members, the reason I didn't just include it in the bill was because we didn't hear it, and so I wanted to actually present it to you so that we can add it on as an amendment. This is all relative to the IRRRB. This does not have any effect on the general fund of the state of Minnesota. It makes a couple of changes to a committee that we're trying to do for providing a higher education institution on the Air Range. It then has... make some requirements for how much money should be put into public works from one of the funds. It adds 3 cents a ton to the TAC-9 Environmental Fund, and that is used to reinvest in the mines. It adds 3 cents to the higher education account, and it allows for any property that. This is something we did last year that allows the Doug Johnson Fund to purchase property, but we forgot to put in that the purchase needs to be approved by the board, so that's in there. And then there is a one-time two cents per ton distribution to the Economic Development Authority of Hibbing to retire some bonds for the economic development purposes, and then there's a quarter of a cent that would be used to study what the impact of the St. Louis County School consolidation of the St. Louis County School Board would do. St. Louis County School is the biggest school district in the state and spread out all over the place, and so we're trying to figure out if we can streamline that operation or not. And then uses some of the money that's in a 30-cent fund that goes back to the mine. So I think it's something that doesn't really affect the bill to the point of general fund money. It's only within the agency itself, and it's all local production tax money. So if anybody has any questions, I'll try and answer them. Otherwise, Senator Saxog, will you move the amendment?
So moved.
Okay, Senator Saxog moves the 001 amendment. Any discussion, Senator Dibble?
Mr. Chair, on the St. Louis County School District, I recall in the tax bill there's a $90,000 grant made to St. Louis County School District for a facility study. Is that something different, or is that?
It might be the same. I suppose we'd have to rectify. Is it coming out of the IRRRB?
No, it's. I don't know. It's coming. It's coming from the. Taconite tax, but I don't know if it comes through the IRRRB.
Yeah, it might be the same, but I just talked to Senator Bach about it, and we might have a couple of provisions that are similar, so we'll have to rectify it as we go through. So,
right.
Any other questions? Okay, Senator Saxog moves the 0001 amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion adopted. Senator Parasol.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This time I would like to offer Amendment CD0002.
Have that amendment, please.
Yes. It's very short, Mr. Chairman, and it is, I'm offering this on behalf of Senator Olson, who is not a member of this committee and couldn't be here tonight, Senator Jen Olson. And line 1.4 says the whole thing, ice hockey is adopted as the official sport of the state of Minnesota. A couple fans in this committee, however, I noticed, yes.
Senator Metzen, do you like this one?
I love it, yes.
You like this one?
Senator Tomasoni, you and I attended the hearing where Senator Olson passed this language unanimously, and I think it's in front of Ann Russ, Senator Russ Committee.
So. This is the kind of amendment, Senator Metzen, where you and I, the older we get, the better we work.
Oh, yeah. That was a great player.
Of course.
I get better every year. Right?
This is probably one of those things Senator Cohen might want to meet with me the next day on. But,
but good timing, though.
But, as long as that goes, are there any questions from the committee? Seeing none, Senator Parasol moves the 0002 amendment. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, motion is adopted.
Thank you, members.
Are there
on behalf of Senator Olson.
I think where is Senator Cohen? Where did he go? Do we have an amendment of his? Senator Cohen, do you have an amendment that you'd like to offer?
Maybe he got wind of it.
He's so serious now. We're going to try to help you.
Senator Cohen, do you have an amendment that you want to offer?
Yes. Mr. Chair, members, this is Amendment DJ0001. This, I think, is Plan C.
You know, in Italian, there's an old saying, non c'è due senza tre, which means if you have a second plan, you got to have a third plan, too. So that's good.
Jim, that's an Italian saying?
That was an Italian saying. I tried to fit it in with whatever you just said. But okay, Senator Cohen.
Well, Mr. Chairman, we've had extensive discussion in this division relative to some of the problems St. Paul has with both the hockey arena and the River Center. And the proposal for the bonding bill there was some disagreement with that, and as members might recall, we pulled back on the floor of the Senate. I want to just point out parenthetically, Mr. Chairman, before I discuss this particular amendment, I'll have to have a discussion with Senator Betzold relative to, I think, what he might be discussing in his division. But Minneapolis has secured an ongoing general fund appropriation for the Target Center for a number of years. I thought it actually expired. Apparently, the use agreement expires, but the statutory authorization does not expire. And so St. Paul is looking to compare apples and apples. What this amendment does is to provide forgiveness of the state loan for the hockey arena, keeping in mind that St. Paul still has significant responsibility for it. What it does, and the reason I'm kind of enamored of it in the short term, is it provides, for our purposes this year, $1.5 million. And I'm looking to grab any money I can for what's going to be a very, very difficult budget bill this year. There are people from St. Paul who can maybe I could just, Mr. Chairman, could I just ask Mr. Smith to talk for a couple of minutes?
Absolutely. Mr. Smith?
I did.
Welcome to the committee, and state your name for the record, please.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Matt Smith. I'm the finance director for the city of St. Paul. As Senator Cohen, what this amendment does is it revises the original proposal from the city for relief of the state loan to the city. And the original proposal was to have the remaining loan payments forgiven beginning in 2008. That would, while it would provide immediate benefit to the city, it would provide or create a negative to the state budget. So what this proposal does is it would have the city make loan repayments on schedule for the next 4 years, and in addition to that, accelerates two of the loan payments so that it provides a net benefit over that period to the state budget of $1.5 million in this biennium and another $500,000 in the out biennium, with the loan forgiveness then beginning in calendar year 2012. So it's a somewhat modified approach trying to reflect our recognition that the state has some immediate budget concerns it needs to address, but the city has a long-term need for debt relief to support the event district initiative that we discussed earlier.
So the immediate effect is that it actually increases the payments to the state, and but there's a tails effect in the end.
Yes.
Okay. Senator Koch.
What's the number on the tails, Mr. Chair? If I could.
Mr. Chairman, Senator
Smith.
The state budget impact in the biennium after 2010-11, so that would be state fiscal 12 and 13 would be $4 million, and the following biennium, $5 million. And then it increases in future years. So, $1.5 million positive this biennium, $500,000 positive next biennium, $4 million cost in the biennium after that, and then the biennial cost does increase each year because the loan is currently scheduled to extend through 2020.
Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Mawaw just wanted me to remind the committee that at the outset I said I'm not sure Senator Mawaw was in the room, that we've heard these issues. This was actually Senator Mawaw's bill as presented to the committee originally. We're kind of reversing things to the extent that, whereas I thought maybe this division would have the ability to take care of the River Center problem and the tax committee, the arena problem, we've kind of reversed things where we think Senator Mawaw, who serves on the tax committee, might have the ability to do something relative to the River Center in the tax committee. So this is actually Senator Mawaw's bill, and I don't know if members would have some questions for Senator Mawaw about this or not, but obviously she's present.
Senator Dibble.
Thanks. I just, we often hear about Minneapolis in the context of the arena or the River Center and how this is attempting to equate and make things the same. Two points. One is often the convention center is invoked and target center is invoked. The first phase of the convention center loan was paid off by the state. But what occurred then is Minneapolis took on about 2.5 times debt to build the second phase of the convention center. The net benefit is to the state, of course, and the business that comes and the sales tax that's paid. The annual appropriation, which requires an annual appropriation to help with the target center, is about $700,000, and so it doesn't go too far in helping retire that debt. And furthermore, the Excel Arena directly competes with the target center, which has greatly impacted the operating revenue for the target center, which is creating a great deal of exposure by Minneapolis taxpayers to pay off those bonds too. So I'm not necessarily speaking to the merits of this proposal. I'm just saying this isn't about evening up the ledger with Minneapolis. And I keep hearing that being cited, and I just need to make these statements for the record.
Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure if Senator Dibble is being defensive or not, but let me just indicate, if you'll allow me, there's actually a former member of who was critical of me because I wasn't anti-Minneapolis enough. And it wasn't just cheerleading for St. Paul every day of the week. So I certainly have not been one to have been critical of Minneapolis efforts. I do want to point out, since we get into the question of these various arenas, that first, St. Paul, relative to the River Center, is providing significant payment through our local option sales tax. So we're providing our own money for the River Center. We had no state support whatsoever in terms of direct subsidies. And it's not just Minneapolis, Senator Dibble. At this point, we're doing these convention centers for every place in the state, I think. And so St. Paul is the one place where there has not been any direct state involvement relative to the River Center. In terms of these professional sports arenas, which I've always approached with a lot of trepidation, it's not been my thing around this place, certainly Minneapolis is getting that cash appropriation, and you know, I'll probably undertake an effort tomorrow to try to talk to Senator Betzold about allowing that to continue as opposed to his proposed, I believe, discontinuance. And in fact, in previous years, when I was chairman of state departments and we had jurisdiction over that appropriation, oftentimes in conference committee with the House, there'd be an effort to remove it in the House, and I'd point out that even if I hadn't supported the original legislation, the sale of the bonds was predicated upon the use of that money. And I would always save the appropriation. So I'm not somebody who's been anti-Minneapolis. I just want to try to provide some equity. And, Mr. Chairman, the last comment about this is I recognize these arenas have gotten into some competition, and certainly no more example of that than 10 days ago at the Bruce Springsteen concert. Members might recall that maybe they don't recall, Mr. Chairman, that Mr. Springsteen no longer plays the Target Center. He plays only the Xcel Energy Center. I would go wherever he played. I'd go to Minneapolis. I'd go to St. Paul. I'd go to St. Cloud. But he plays St. Paul now. So you're right. There is some competition, some back and forth.
Senator Duke.
Mr. Chair, I do feel defensive because every time one of these ideas gets floated, there's a citation about how Minneapolis has been treated so well, and so we should do the same. That being said, I appreciate Senator Cohen's efforts on behalf of securing the $700,000 appropriation that we get every year to help pay off the Target Center debt, and all of his efforts on behalf of all good things across the state. But I'm just saying that we just need to make sure we know what facts we're dealing with here. And the fact on the convention center is that sure, we paid off the first phase, but then we took on significant debt for what is a regional and statewide facility that has a huge benefit.
This sounds like
to the state's general fund.
It sounds like Chisholm and Hibbing. Anyway, Senator Moore, did you want to say something?
Mr. Chair and members, I just want to, I think I've been before this committee a number of times asking for your assistance on this matter, and I just want to thank you for taking the time to consider this amendment, and I hope that I will have your support. Thank you very much.
Senator Saxon?
I just wanted to remind Mr. Chairman, Senator Cohen, that Hannah Montana plays at the Target Center.
There you go.
Senator Saxon.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, I'm sorry, I missed that one. I wasn't there.
Yeah. Senator Vandiver, did you have your hand up? Okay. Is there any further Senator Kubley?
Well, if I could ask for clarification, I'm not sure. What's the date of substantial completion? What does that mean?
Mr. Smith?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Kubley, that goes back to the original language that established the loan, and basically that date of substantial completion just sort of started the clock ticking in terms of the repayment schedule, because in the law you'll see it'll talk about payment in year one, year two, year three. So what this summarizes is that before the loan forgiveness kicks in, the city will have paid $13.25 million back to the state.
And, Senator Kubley, and what's the balance?
The original loan was $48 million.
What's the balance now?
The balance today would be, let's see, 48 minus 6.75, so it's like 41.25, I believe.
Any further discussion?
No.
Seeing none, Senator Cohen moves the DJ0001 amendment.
Sexy.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Motion is adopted. Any further discussion on the economic development appropriations article, Article 15?
Yeah, something?
Senator Vandiver?
Mr. Chair, I have the DS0001 amendment.
That's for a division.
Yeah.
know how much we're going to save with this amendment.
I save it if you spend something, right? Is that all good?
Senator Vandiver?
Mr. Chair, what this amendment does, and I'm not sure, is someone from Deed here? Could maybe, if we need any help with this, but it attempts to allow. Maybe you could explain. Would you like to explain to the committee what this does?
Can you explain this amendment?
That would be all right, Mr. Chair.
Absolutely. Go ahead. You understand the amendment, Mr. Nelson?
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I am Lee Nelson. I'm the Director of Unemployment Insurance Legal Affairs for the Department of Employment and Economic Development. What this bill does is it deals with family corporations, essentially, and what it's doing is it makes it clear that a company, a family corporation, which lays off some of the key family members each year, those members would be limited to drawing about the amount of unemployment benefits that the employer corporation pays in unemployment taxes. But if they do not collect routinely, which just happened to lay some family member off, and they're not a routine collector of benefits, then they would not be limited in the amount of benefits they could receive. They could receive up to the normal that any other worker receives. But it is designed to prevent abuses by family corporations from just laying themselves off every year. But it also provides for those family corporations in which they have a layoff very unexpected or occurs very infrequently, then that individual could still receive full benefit entitlement. We believe, we work with Senator Vandiver, we believe that this prevents the abuses that small family corporations could do to the unemployment insurance fund, but still provides full protection for the workers.
Senator Vandiver, you're coming around, I'll tell you.
I appreciate that, Mr. Chair. I hope you heard that, Senator Metz.
Still hard to believe, though.
Are there any questions of Mr. Nelson? So you're pretty comfortable with it gets to the.
We're very, Mr. Chairman, if I might also explain, because this would deal with layoffs which don't occur on a regular basis, but only if that family member had accrued. Not on a regular basis, that the cost would still be fully assessed against the employer. Now, there may be certain situations in which the fund isn't fully replenished, but that's true currently of other workers. But it puts these family members in the same stead as any other worker, unless they're laying themselves off year after year, and then they can abuse the system. So we think it's a very good bill. We fully support it. We've worked with Senator Vandiver on it, and we're fully support this bill.
Senator Vandiver?
And I think, Mr. Chair, it's consistent with the idea that if you pay into the unemployment insurance fund, if you pay the tax to buy the insurance, then you're collecting it, but again, not abusing the system.
Okay. Any other questions or comments from the committee?
Senator, the division on this?
I don't know. Senator Vandiver moves the DS-0001 amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed.
Aye.
Motion is adopted. Are there any other comments on the any other amendments from committee members? Does anybody have any burning desire to hear any testimony from the audience since we've heard most? No. No. all right. In that case, Senator Koch.
No.
Okay, Senator Sparks moves the, which one do I say here? The Econ Dev? Article 15 of the Economic Development Appropriations Bill. Any further discussions? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying, wait, no, as amended. Senator Sparks moves Article 15 of the Economic Development Appropriations Bill as amended. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion's adopted. We may possibly have some meetings next week, so stay tuned. As of right now, I don't think we will, but there's a chance that if somebody wants to move a bill out of here and move to the floor by itself, that we may have some hearings and move it to the Finance Committee. So, do we have one more thing? What?
Today, are you going to do Minnesota Technology?
No. Okay. Did we forget anything? We got everything in it? It's too late now. Okay. All right. Meeting adjourned. Thank you all very much.
That's too bad.